Morning, everyone. Today's daf is Daf Yud Zayin in Shavuos. We begin back on Tezvav Amud Beis, Tezayin Amud Beis, 16b, and just wrap up a little bit from yesterday's daf, and then we'll continue with today's daf. All right, let's just start, just quickly start from the top of the Amud, and we'll just quickly move our way down. Tuma Bazar Minalan, okay. If you become Tame in the Azara, right? How do you know that that's, how do we know that that's prohibited? Amar Velazar, Katsav Echad Omer, Es Mishkan Hashem Time. Bekatsav Echad Omer, Ki Es Mikdash Hashem Time. So, Right, so there are two psukim that indicate that you're not allowed to defile, you're not allowed to contaminate mikdash Hashem v'krayim yasehu. So the Gemara says, really, those psukim are extra. Mitzvah tzrichi d'tanya Rav Elazar omer nemar mishkan lama nemar mikdash v'nemar mikdash lama nemar mishkan ilo nemar mishkan v'lo nemar mikdash ha'isi omer al mishkan yeichayev. Gemara points out that I need two psukim to tell me that there's a prohibition of defiling both the Mishkan and the Mikdash. Had it only said Mishkan, I would have thought that you'd only be chayav on Tumas Mishkan, the tabernacle in the desert. Sherei Mashuach B'Shem and HaMishkan, because remember, we learned a couple days ago that it was anointed with the anointing oil. The Al Mikdash Le'yechayev. And so therefore, there's a higher elevated Kedusha by the Mishkan, and therefore I might have thought that this defilement is only by the Mishkan. On the other hand, if it only said Mikdash and not Mishkan, well, Mikdash, Mishkan was only temporary. Mikdash was meant to be there permanently. So it's the permanent resting place of Hashem. So I would have thought that the defilement of the Mikdash is a violation, but not necessarily the defilement of Mishkan. Therefore, I need both Mishkan and Mikdash. The Gemara says, I'll tell you why we could still learn out from these two psukim. Because, truth be told, is that we find that the terms are interchangeable. Sometimes when the Torah talks about the tabernacle in the desert, although its proper name is Mishkan, we find it being called Mikdash and vice versa. The Beis HaMikdash we find sometimes being called Mishkan. So the terms are totally interchangeable. Nichtav o idi v'idi Mikdash o idi v'idi Mishkan. Therefore, when the Torah talks about defilement, the Torah could just simply have used the word Mikdash twice or would have used the word Mishkan twice. Mishkan u Mikdash lamali. Why does the Torah say Mishkan and Mikdash? Shema minat tarte. So we learn out two things. We learn out, number one, that its defilement is punishable, and also we learn that even if you're in already and you become defiled, that's also punishable as well. Okay, and then the Gemara just wraps up. Where do we find these terms that are interchangeable? Pasuk says, "I will place my Mishkan amongst you," and that's in reference to the Beis HaMikdash. Okay. Right, Rashi, the way Rashi presents it, Kol ha-nitan b'sochachem kari mishkan. Anytime I place a holy edifice amongst you, it's by definition called mishkan. So you see, the Beis HaMikdash can be referred to as a mishkan. Ela mishkan dikrei mikdash minalam, but where do we know that the mishkan was ever called mikdash? Ile mikdichzi v'nasu ha-katim nosei ha-mikdash. Well, maybe it's from the pasuk that we know that kahatim were carrying the mikdash. Kahatim weren't carrying the mikdash through the desert. They were carrying the mishkan through the desert. That seems to be a very good proof. The Gemara says, no, ha-uba aron k'siv. Even though it uses the word mikdash, that term is used by the aron. Ela mehachav ha-asul mikdash Shachanti bisocham. So the Gemara says, now it's based on the pasuk vasuli mikdash. You're going to make for me a mikdash, referring to the mishkan. So you see that the mishkan is referred to as mikdash. Uksiv kechol hashin amar eschah estavnes mishkan. Okay, fine. Hishachava o shesha kedei hishachava. All right. We move now to the nitty gritty, the real details of this prohibition of tumas mikdash v'kadasha. Right. So far, in summary, let's just point out the following. There's a prohibition, if you're already Tamei, there's a prohibition, and you know you're Tamei, there's a prohibition to walk into the Beis HaMikdash, right? And if you do so intentionally, so it's an Isser Kares. It's one of the Kares prohibitions. Okay. If you do so unintentionally, meaning you know you were tummy, and then by you forget about your tummy and you walk into the Beis HaMikdash, and then you walk out, so you're chayav a carbon ola v'yored, right? It's a chatas type carbon. If you're in the Beis HaMikdash and you become tamei, okay, let's right now not talk about where you intentionally become tamei. That's going to be a little that's going to be an unknown. But let's talk about just being in the Beis HaMikdash and by accident you become tamei, and you know
when you're
tamei.
You're not tamei,
huh?
When
you walked in, you were fine, and you're not tamei, and by accident you become tamei. Right? So you slip, you fall, you land on, you step on a sheretz. And by accident, you become tamei. Now you need to make an exit, an immediate exit out of the Beis HaMikdash. You need to exit immediately. You cannot pause or delay or hesitate. You cannot take a circuitous route. You must immediately leave the Beis HaMikdash. If in fact you delay, then you're going to be chayev. Then you're going to be chayev. There's no point in discussing delaying b'shogeg. It's kind of just strange. If you delay, we're going to just be talking about mazid. If you delay walking out of the Beis HaMikdash, you're going to be chayev, and presumably you're going to be chayev it's going to be an iser kares. If you delay walking out of the Beis HaMikdash, how long is the delay? So the Mishnah says either a delay long enough to bow, or the time it takes to bow. Okay. Now, right now, how long that is actually, we're going to discuss a little bit later on this morning. What that actual time period is. It's a couple seconds, obviously, but the Gemara is going to give actually a quantitative measure of what that is. But if you think about it, the way the Mishnah formulates the halakha is a little bit strange. Either you bow or the time it takes to bow. Shouldn't the Mishnah just simply say the time it takes to bow? Well, why does the Mishnah say either bowing or the time it takes to bow? Why would the Mishnah do that? Right? That's a little bit, it's the same thing. And the time it takes to bow is much more of a measurement, right? Just give the measurement. Amar Rava. So here, Rava introduces the following. Lo shanu l'shishtachavet kalpe panim. Ava hishtachavet kalpe chutsha in lo sha'lo. Okay. Rava believes the following. He's of the position that when you bow, you can bow really quickly or you can bow nice and slow. There are different types of bowing that's done. The Gemara on the bottom of the Amma is going to go through it. We're going to go through the different types of bowing. The most expressive and demonstrative form of bowing is what's called Pishut Yadayim V'Raglayim, which means basically that you go on the floor and your entire body is on the floor. Not bent over, but just hands, feet, body. It's flush face on the floor. This is what's called Pishut Yadayim V'Raglayim. Obviously, that position will take the longest time to get into. Okay, and then there's just simply a bowing of the head or a bowing of the back. Right, that's another form of bowing. Obviously, that's a much shorter type of bowing. Rava says that in our Mishnah, there actually is going to be a difference in terms of which way you're facing. If you're facing the actual interior of the Beis HaMikdash, so and you do a little bow, meaning you become tummy in the Beis HaMikdash, and before you leave, you say, "Oh, you know what? Let me just bow," and you bow towards the interior, you're chayev kares, done, end of discussion. Even though it was a shorter time period than getting down on the floor, prostrating, pishut yadayim v'raglayim, even though it takes longer than that. But the act of bowing, even a shortened, truncated form of bowing, is in fact going to incur a liability. Okay? Let's see this inside. Amar Rav Lo Shana L'Shishachavet Kapei Panim. If you bow towards the panim, towards the interior. Amar Lishachavet Kapei Chutz. But if you bow to the exterior, Sha'in Lo Sha'lo. There, liability only comes when you actually wait. The amount of time it takes to do a full bowing. Okay, Gemara is going to present the same exact information, slightly different version. If you are facing the interior, a little short bow. If you actually bow, you incur liability. If you're facing the exterior, the amount of time to make a full prostration. Okay. And Rava says it in one of two ways, but the two ways come out to be the same point. Okay, and so now the Gemara is going to help us quantify. What does that mean? What exactly are these two types of balance? The leis beishihia, zukriya ba'alma. So the Gemara says, as far as the short version, it's kriya. Anachnu korim umishtachavim. We say in Aleinu, just bowing down, right? You're still standing, right? Back becomes horizontal, but that's a simple bow, and that's a short one. The east beishihia. What would be a much longer version? Pishu yadayim v'raglayim. That would be totally on the floor, flush to the floor, whole body flush to the floor. The kamashir shihia. Now, how long does that take? Okay, so what do you mean, how long does it take? However long it takes. The Gemara is going to give us some sort of quantitative term. We find this elsewhere in the Gemara. Like, for example, we talk Kedei Dibur, right? That's a shir we find all the time throughout the Gemara. What's the shir of Toch Kedei Dibur? So the Gemara gives us a time of Shom Alecha Rebbe Omari. Okay, what was that, a second? Maybe 2 seconds? As far as prostrating on the floor, the Gemara is also going to give it to us in terms of Psukim. One pasuk specifically. Pligi bar Rav Yitzchak bar Nachman v'chadame Oman Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi v'amri la Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi v'chadame Oman Rav Yitzchak bar Nachman v'amri la Rabbi Shimon bar Nachman. Various versions of who exactly is taking the positions, but Chanamar kem meimer dai psuka v'chanamar ki mi v'yichra'u l'seifa. Everyone's going to look at this one pasuk in Divrei Hayamim. Now this one pasuk will be the standard because in the pasuk has the idea of bowing down. Okay, the amount of time it takes to read this pasuk, it's good. I mean, the Gemara is really trying hard to help us quantify how long it's going to take. I guess it depends who reads the pasuk, right? Some people read pasukim real quickly. Some people read it. Some people take longer, right? But when we talk about this type of time distance, really, what we're trying to say is. Beinoni, how much would it take the average person to read this pasuk? The pasuk in Divrei Hayamim v'chol bnei Yisrael roim beredes ha'eshuch v'od Hashem al habayis v'yichru'u apayim, they bow down artsa on their face on the ground al haritzpah, totally on the floor v'yishtachavu v'hodos Hashem ki tov ki li'olam chasdo. That's a long pasuk. And some opinion is that it's from the time from the beginning of the pasuk to the end. Alright, so again, I don't have my stopwatch here. I don't know what I am. I'm fast, I'm slow, I'm somewhere in between. Maybe I'm Bainer. I don't know. But the amount of time that it takes to read the entire pasuk, that's one opinion. A second opinion is that no, it's from the time where you start. Don't start from the beginning of the pasuk. Start in the middle of the pasuk. Start from Vayichru'u Apayim, which actually is nice because that's the part of the pasuk that actually describes the actual prostration. Start there. It's from that point forward. Okay, so we have a better understanding of what is delay, what's shihia. Delay is the amount of time that it takes to bow, and how much is that? The amount of time that it takes to read this pasuk.
Could it be like in the middle of echal, fixing whatever, like a menorah? I mean, you attach sheretz, he has to go with. At least a minute to run all the way back to
Tana Rabbanan. Please wake, or you'll see more of it. It's going to be a very interesting discussion coming up. Tana Rabbanan kidal apayim v'chein omer v'tikor b'sheva apayim aretz. Okay, there's three things. There's something called kida vayikod artsa. We have that pasuk a couple places throughout Tanakh. The Gemara here quotes it by b'sheva. It's where you're standing on the ground, but you're able to bend the front of your body fully forward and balance yourself by placing your thumbs on the ground. You'll remember there's a Gemara, I totally forget where, there's a Gemara that talks about Levi. Levi tried it and dislocated his hip while trying it. Okay, so don't try that at home. You have to be very flexible for that. Kriya al birkayim. Kriya is on your knees, right? V'cheinu omer Machro al birkav, okay, and hishtachaveh. And when we talk about real bowing, like full prostration, zepishut yadayim v'raglayim, that is spreading out your hands and your feet, that's going fully on the floor. Bowing on the ground. Okay? Fine. So we have, and it's funny, the kiddah, that isn't described at all throughout this entire procedure, because kiddah is something that's really relegated to people who have that kind of flexibility and dexterity. Most people can't do kiddah. But in terms of korim, in terms of bowing, meaning kneeling, or hishachavaya, just lying down on the floor, flush down on the floor, so that's obviously the two different types that are that the Gemara describes. Okay, by Rava. Sarach shehiya lamalkus or ain sarach shehiya lamalkus. All right, now, we know that in order to be liable for kares if you do it intentionally, or a karban if you're unintentional, you need shehiya, right? You need to delay. All right. You're not allowed to delay, right? Delaying becomes the operative quantitative measure of when you become liable. Okay, how about for Malkus? You're in the Beis HaMikdash, you become Tamei, and now you receive a warning. You cannot stay here. If you stay here, you're going to be subject to Malkus, right? And your Shoha, and your delay. Is there such a thing as Shehiyah when it comes to Malkus, or is Shehiyah relegated only to Karban and to Kares, but not to Malkus?
Is delay considered an act?
Okay, so Tosus asked your question, right? That's the right question to ask. That's exactly the right question to ask. So Tosfos raises your question. Tosus is on Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph. Tosfos, just to make a long story short, Tosfos says that the Gemara is asking the question according to the opinion that you get Malkus for Lav Shein Bo Maisa, even though that's not the accepted halachic viewpoint. You'll see that in Tosfos, Divra Maschal Ein Sarech. You'll see that somewhere in that Tosfos. Correct? Yeah. As the lines become wide in Tosfos, 1, 2, 3, four lines down. Hachi Ayri Lamanda Amalav Shem Bamaisa Lokin Alav. Okay, you're asking the right question. Okay. So let's go back to the Gemara. Sarach shehiya lamalkus or ain't sarach shehiya lamalkus? The carbon gemiri shehiya lamalkus lo gemiri shehiya. Is this delay, is that taught us vis-a-vis carbon, or is it also talking about malkus as well? Dilma bifnin gemiri shehiya lo shna la carbon lo shna la malkus. Or is this a basic concept that just deals with being inside of the azarim and being inside the temple courtyard? Teku, the Gemara leaves this question unresolved. Okay. So again, we have one question the Gemara throws out, the Gemara leaves unresolved, and that is this issue of delaying in the Beis HaMikdash. You're in the Beis HaMikdash, you walk in clean, Tahor, and then you become Tamei in the Beis HaMikdash. So in order to incur liability, you need Shehiyah. So one question the Gemara leaves unresolved is this Shehiyah, the delay, is that a concept for carbon, or is it also carbon for a concept for Malkus? Okay, unresolved. By Rava. Second.
To get Malkus, you need to actually have somebody who is going to give this guy a warning.
Right.
Say, hey, you.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
So they need to become aware that this guy became Tama, and they need to do it on the spot and tell him about.
Correct.
Correct. That takes time also. I mean, that takes time to give the guy the warning.
I understand. So I guess the point would be that after the warning was given, so then after the
clock starts running.
Right. Then the clock starts running. Okay. Next question. Top of the Yud Zayin Amud Aleph. Rai Rava. Tala ba'atzma be'avir azara mahu. You hang yourself in the air in the azara. You become tamei, and you're not on the ground. Now, the Gemara does not mean you're floating. It'd be nice. Now, you're not floating. You are on a pole, on a post. You're just simply not on ground level. You're above ground level. Okay? Mao. Now I'm going to read the Gemara first, and then we're going to discuss this a little bit. Ki gemir shehiya shehiya debas hashachava, delas bas hashachava lo gemiri. This idea of shehiya. Does it mean that you have to bow? Now, bowing, as we already described on the previous amud, means on the floor, right? Bowing by definition, not korim. Korim means just kneeling, not that, but bowing, like real bowing, like getting down on the floor, full face, full flush on the floor. So, does that mean that in order to be chayiv, you have to be bowing? Or in a now, as we learned in the Mishnah, it doesn't mean bow. Even if it's the time it takes to bow, but still, in other words, it's the time to take to bow. So that does that mean you have to be on the floor? Or the Gemara says, no, it doesn't matter whether you're on the floor or you're not on the floor, it's just a time. And if you're inside the Azara and you delay the amount of time that it takes to bow, even though you're not on the floor, you're above the floor, you're on a pole, you're on a post, you're on a second floor in the Azara, so then you would be chayav even though you're not on the actual physical ground. Teku, the Gemara leaves this question unresolved. Okay, now, start with Tosos. Tosos over here, the top Tosos on the Amud. He has a girsa in the Gemara which we don't have. The girsa in the Gemara, look at the top of Tosos. East farm de garsi avir azara kazara dami ola. Some girsos in the Gemara put the question like this. In the Azara, the airspace of the Azara, does that have the same kedusha as the Azara itself? Meaning, if I'm standing on the floor of the Azara, I'm certainly now in the kedusha of the Azara. And if I'm Tame, I'm subject to the liability of being Tame in the Azara. But what if I'm not on ground level? What if I'm on the second floor, third floor, or just simply not on the ground? Something above the ground. Okay? So the question, according to this girsa of the Gemara, which we don't have, is the airspace above the Azara, does that have the same kedusha as the Azara? Okay? Now, let's just go through Tosfos and we'll come back to that girsa. Tosus rejects. Tosus says, no, that can't be. The Gemara never entertains the question as to whether the airspace of the Azara has the same kedusha of the Azara. Tosfos now will discuss that the Gemara never challenges that premise. The Gemara always feels the airspace of the Azara has the same kedusha as the Azara. V'kashu de'beper kol apsu amech amar. Tamish yechnes yadu lefnim chayev. De'bia b'miksa shma bia. Okay, first of all, there's a Gemara in Zvachim, which we'll get to, not that long from now, that says that if you put your hand into the Azara, and your hand is Tameh, your Tameh meaning, and you put your hand into the Azara, you will be Chayav. Okay? You weren't grounded, you weren't in the Azara, the only thing that went in was just your hand. And the Gemara in Zvachim says you're Chayav. Okay? Uveperek kol apsulim nami amar. And also Tosfos makes another point. The Mitzara, when he ends his process of becoming a Mitzara, so he has to have an application of oil on his right thumb and on his right big toe. Now he's still a Mitzara or a residual Mitzara. He can't go into the Azara. So what does he do? He takes his thumb and he puts his thumb and inserts his thumb into the Azara. Or takes his big toe and puts that in the Azara as well. He stands at the actual threshold of the doorway of the Azara and he puts his thumb in. So Tosfos says, so obviously the airspace of the Azara has the same level of Kedusha, otherwise what would be the point of just putting his thumb in? Okay. So, Tosfos also makes another fantastic point. Right, if you want to even entertain this idea that the airspace of the Azara does not have the Kedusha, you shecht an animal, a carbon in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Azara, you pick up the blood, you walk it over to the Mizbeach, well, it's not touching the ground, right? It's not in the Azara anymore. Obviously, that's a ridiculous statement, but that's exactly Tosfos's point. You see that the airspace of the Azara has the same level of Kedusha as the Azara itself. Okay, and so therefore, veniri kigersus is from degarsi kigamir shehira hecha debay shachavahu. So therefore, Tosfos favors our girsa and our gemara, which is the question really revolves around when we give the shear of bowing. Does that mean you have to be in the position where you can bow, i.e., on the ground, or no? as long as you're in the Azara, even though you're not on the ground, you're also going to be chayav as well. That, says Tosos, is the Gemara's question. But the Gemara never entertained whether or not the airspace is not the same level of Kedusha as the Azara. Tosos is very firm in its position that the airspace of the Azara has the same level of Kedusha. Okay. Wait, if it comes down, yeah. Who disagrees with Tosfos? The Rambam. The Rambam had the Girsa that Tosfos rejects. The Rambam had that very Girsa. I read to you the Rambam, Perik Yud Aleph of Shkagos, where the Rambam discusses Yediyah Satoma. And the Rambam writes in Perik Yud Aleph, Halacha Dalet, Vichain, Im Tala Atzmo Be'avir, you're in the airspace of the Azara. The Avir Azara Hadavar Safek, the matter is in doubt, writes the Rambam, Im Avir Azara Ka Azara O Eino Ka Azara. If the airspace of the Azara is like the Azara or not like the Azara. Okay? So the Rambam is extraordinarily clear that that's exactly what the Gemara is questioning. And the Gemara leaves it unresolved, and that's the way the Rambam leaves it also. Unresolved.
There's a rule whether you're Machmir or Mekel. Doesn't they apply that?
No, but you know your Tame. In other words, that rule of Safek Tuma is where you're not sure if you became Tame. So it depends now where it happened. Does it happen in a private or public domain? Here you know your Tame, and now you're in the Azara. So you're not on the ground level, you're above the ground level. So the way the Rambam writes it...
No, but the thing is that you could make... There's a concept that you could make the Zara Tame or others Tame?
No. So the way the Rambam writes it, that's exactly what the Gemara is asking. Whether the airspace of the Azara has the same status as the Azara.
In other words, he's hanging.
He's not on the ground. He's not, I know that's a Gemara, that's a Lashon of the Gemara, I know. But, okay, hanging. He's not on the ground. So he's on the ground level. So it's clear. And what you have to work out, which we're not going to do now, is what's the Rambam going to do with all the points that Tosfos made? Tosfos says you can never entertain this question. Of course the airspace has the same level of Kedusha as the actual ground itself. That's Tosfos' position, and you're going to have to somehow explain, according to the Rambam, what to do with all the points of Tosfos. Okay, so that's for homework
so
tonight.
So, according to Tosfos, you cannot fly over to Harabai.
Correct. In other words, all right, I was thinking about that also. From Tosfos' standpoint, airspace doesn't stop, right? Well, in Manhattan, you own airspace. You know, that's gold. Right? Airspace doesn't stop, so it continues to go up. According to the Rambam, that's exactly the Gemara's question. Now, you have to be machmir because the Gemara doesn't resolve and the Rambam doesn't resolve, which means that it's a suffix and we're not sure, but that's what the Gemara is entertaining. Back to the Gemara inside. By Rav Ashi, Time Atzma Bemezid Mahu. Let's say you're in the Beis Hamikdash, you walked in Tahor, and you don't become Tame, you make yourself Tame. You know there's Tumah there. What's wrong with you? I don't know. Why would the person do that? You know, you can always ask that question. But he does so amazing. Question now goes as follows. Is he given the latitude of Shehiyah? Like, in other words, is he not going to incur liability until he delays? Or is delay a concept for someone who becomes Tameh by onus? Not this guy who becomes Tameh by Mazin. And the Gemara is going to leave this question unresolved as well. Ba'onis gemir Shehiyah, b'mezid lo gemir Shehiyah, odoma bifnim gemir Shehiyah, lo shna ba'onis lo shna b'mezid. Take
him. You mean this guy was actually properly warned before he made himself
Tame? Warning is not...
I mean, for Mazin, no?
Mazin means he knows. He knows that that's Tumah right now, and he knows he's in the base of Mikdash. And Afal Pikein, he touches.
See, the thing is that the first case then would have to be like an onus kind of thing.
We assume, up until this point in the Gemara, we assume that when he becomes Tame, he becomes Tame by onus, through onus. That's been our assumption up until this point in time. And so therefore, now, he must exit immediately. And if he exits immediately, he will have incurred no liability. I mean, if he delays, then he incurs a liability.
How is the guy who is mazed makes himself Tomei b'mazed different than somebody who knows he's Tomei and walks into the
river? Because the Gemara is entertaining the question that maybe this idea Shehiya is just a universal idea. Even for the guy who becomes Tomei b'mazed, maybe still he won't incur liability until he delays in the Beis HaMikdash. I understand you. Intuitively, your reaction is, "Why the guy's nuts? Give him liability right away. He shouldn't get this courtesy of delay." But the Gemara is entertaining that maybe delay is just a universal concept. One more. One more unresolved question for the morning. Rashi paints a scenario over here, right? We're talking now no longer about being in the Beis HaMikdash and becoming Tamei in the Beis HaMikdash. We're now talking about a Nazir who is not allowed to become Tamei. We're looking for an analogous situation where he walks into an area and then all of a sudden he's left unprotected in that Tamei area, and now is he given the courtesy of this delay or no? He immediately incurs liability. Rashi paints a scenario. He goes through a cemetery, but he's in a box. The box protects him from Tumah. And then someone opens up the box while he's in the cemetery. Okay? And so now he is susceptible, he's open to Tumah. So is he given now this latitude of Shehiya? Meaning that if he runs out of the cemetery, he will not incur liability. But if it delays, then and only then he's going to incur liability, or no? Is this concept of Shehiya limited to the Beis HaMikdash? And the Gemara, interestingly enough, does not resolve this question as well. Bifnim gemir Shehiya, bechutz lo gemir Shehiya, odama ba'onis gemir Shehiya, lo shna bifnim, lo shna bechutz, teku. The Gemara leaves this question unresolved. Okay. Abalo baruch ha'chai b'ktara pater. Amar Rav ha'ktara shamru, afilu Akiv Bitsad Godel Afilu Kola Yom Kulo. Okay, this is comedy in motion. Okay? You become Tummy in the Beis HaMikdash. Okay? Now we know the halacha dictates you didn't do it on purpose. Right? We're back to our classic scenario. Ones, by accident you become Tummy in the Beis HaMikdash. You must leave the Beis HaMikdash right away. If you delay in the Beis HaMikdash, you're gonna incur liability. You must leave right away. You have to run out, or can you walk out? So Rava teaches us the halacha, you can walk out. Not only can you walk out, you can even take baby steps. I just want to quote the Gemara. Akev Bitsad Godel, right? Heel to toe. it's like a comedy. You're just taking the smallest steps imaginable. As long as you're in motion exiting the Beis HaMikdash, you're fine. Shehiya means pause, meaning actual stoppage. Yeah, I'll give you another place in halacha where we find almost the exact same concept. Shechita, right? Shechting an animal. We're going to learn this in the beginning of Chulin. There's the same prohibition. When you shecht an animal, you have to take a knife, and a back and forth motion, you have to run the knife against the neck of the animal. If in the middle of the cut, you show it, you pause, you delay, you are the shechita is not a good shechita. Okay, the Gemara basically makes the exact same point. As long as the knife is in motion, let's say it's not the sharpest knife in the world, and you're sitting there over the neck of the animal, this sounds gruesome, I know, but I'm just presenting this just as another example of the same exact concept. And you're going back and forth and back and forth over the neck of the animal, and it takes you a long time to finally sever the trachea and the esophagus, but as long as you're in the motion, in the constant motion, you're fine. The shechita is a good shechita. Right? If once you stop and delay in the middle, so then you're no good. So Rava says the same thing over here. You don't have to run out of the Beis HaMikdash. As long as you are in constant motion exiting the Beis HaMikdash, you're fine. You're not going to incur liability. Right? That's why I'm saying it's comedic in nature. It's just, it's not normal. The guys.
But if you think
about it, it kind of follows the laws of physics that once an object is set in motion, it's going to continue along
right,
the motion.
Right, right. The most important thing is that you're in constant motion.
Well, the direction, I mean, if it goes like this.
So that's, no, but that's going circuitous. In other words, once you take a circuitous route, forget about speed, but once you take a circuitous route, so then you're done. By Rava, Shius Maushi Yitzderfu. Oh. Now, we know that there's a shear for delay. Shear for delay is the amount of time it takes to bow, which is the amount of time it takes to read the Pasuk in Divrei HaYamim that we discussed earlier this morning. What if I do, right, let's, just for argument's sake, let's say that's 5 seconds. Okay, I just threw out a time, right, that it's not a real time, it's just I just gave a number so that we all have, can converse now. Let's say I become Tamei in the Beis HaMikdash, so now I make my exit strategy. I walk out. But I pause for 1 second. And then I keep going. I pause a second second. And then I keep going and I pause a third second. And I make incremental pauses as I'm walking out of the Beis HaMikdash. Maybe I need to breathe. maybe I'm winded. So anyway, Maushe Yitzderfu. So the Gemara is asking a fantastic question. Do they combine? Right, we know in other areas of shear, for sure you combine. Right, when I eat matzah, when I eat iser, I have to eat a kezias, so I know that every little bit that I eat combines. What about this measurement of delay? Does 1 second plus 1 second plus 1 second, do they combine to make a full shehiyah? So the Gemara says, look, and don't try to bring me a proof from the halacha that we just learned before about heel to toe. Because heel to toe, you're in constant motion. There was never a delay there whatsoever. Here, 1 second delay, go. 1 second delay, go. The Gemara leaves this question unresolved. Okay, what if you do this? Okay, you're in the Beis HaMikdash now, you become Tamei, and now the halacha is you must leave the shortest exit out of the Beis HaMikdash while in the state of Tumah. Again, just for argument's sake, let's say that from here to the exit, to your nearest exit, it's 10 seconds of what a normal person would walk. Okay? Let's say you go out the long way, but you sprint. And you do it in 10 seconds. This is exactly the Gemara's question. And you do it in 10 seconds. So, in some total, you didn't delay. Meaning that if you would have walked at a normal pace to the nearest exit, it would have been 10 seconds. You, for whatever reason, feel that you need a sprint out a longer route. But in all said and done, you didn't lose on time. It's the same amount of time that you would have been in the Beis HaMikdash had you walked out a normal pace out the quicker route.
There's another issue, and that is how much crowd there is in what construction.
Right. The Gemara is just right now conceptualizing. You're right. It's just right now, which this is more abstract. Shir Gemir v'chibalo baruka shir katsar pater. Odilma dafka gemir baruka chai b'ksar pater. So do we actually take into consideration the fact that you didn't really lose out on time? Or no, do we just simply say, look, you went out a longer route, it was longer in distance, it's no good. Here the Gemara gives a very definitive answer. After leaving a lot of questions on the table, the Gemara over here says, you're not going to become putter. You will not be exempt. Meaning once you take a longer route, once you don't go out the nearest exit, you will incur liability, period. Okay.
I know this isn't a fair question, but can we make a deal here in terms of like parenting?
Meaning what? Meaning?
Meaning like, you know, it's like the person running here in the Beis HaMikdash, it's like testing Hashem.
Right. You're right.
I totally feel like this way every day with my kids. Just to see how far they can push.
Correct. I mean, the Gemara is for sure. That's the Gemara does this all the time. The Gemara pushes limits all the time. Gemara wants to test out where, you know, it's really a laboratory for where the what the halacha is. Like, you know, what if I do this? What if I do that? The Gemara is really testing out what's the edge of halacha. Maskevla Rav Zera Ella Dekai Malan. Okay, now. There's a halacha that we learned in Sanhedrin. I don't know if we all remember this, but we're going to remember it now. Tamei Shishimish B'Misa. Okay, you're a Kohen who's Tamei, and you do temple service, right? You do some sort of the avoda, so you incur liability, specifically liability of Misa B'Dei Shamayim. It's one level lower than Kares. If I can explain Kares, so then I have no problem explaining Misa B'Dei Shamayim, right? I always struggle when it comes to Kares. It's hard to explain. It's hard to put in words, right? Being spiritually cut off. But here's what I do know. Misa B'Dei Shamayim is one level lower. All right. Now, you're going in the Beis HaMikdash. You do temple service while being Tamei. That's Misa B'Dei Shamayim. What's the case? Right? It's a great question. What's the case? You became Tamei Ba'ones in the Beis HaMikdash. And now,
So you at that point in time
have an obligation to make your exit strategy.
But you did something.
Walk out to the nearest exit. Now, what the Gemara will say, the Gemara is going to be a little creative over here, is that as you walked out, you were able to, you'll forgive the very mundane expression, but you were able to flip a burger. Okay? Meaning that you passed by the Mizbeach on your way out, and you saw some carbon burning on the Mizbeach, and you flipped it over.
So that's your action.
Okay, good. So, fine. And that's where the Gemara is going to end up. But here, the Gemara...
Is it possible? Isn't the,
what, to flip a burger on the run?
No, isn't it 20 feet tall?
It is pretty high. Yeah, you're right. It is 20 feet tall. Okay, it's going to be tough. Okay, I'm with you. Gemara is going to even be more creative in the beginning. Because what the Gemara is now going to suggest is that, let's go back to our previous question. We talked about if you walked out in a normal pace, to the shortest exit, it would take 10 seconds. But if you sprinted out a longer way, so the Gemara entertained that should be okay. Now, remember, we just rejected that. Once you take a circuitous route, you're done. You incur liability. But the Gemara now wants to revisit that discussion. Hechi mishkachala, o delo shah hechi avid avoda, ezeshah bar karisu. Right? If you delay in the Beis HaMikdash, aren't you chayv kari? It's not Misa B'Dei Shamayim. So, Iyamar B'Shalam Ashir Gemara Mishkachala Danis Nafshei B'Katzara V'Avad Avoda. So the Gemara says, well, you know what? The case could go like this. You become Tam in the Beis HaMikdash, Ba'ones, and then you stick around to do a little Avoda. I don't know, pick your Avoda, it doesn't matter. You shech the carbon, you collect the blood, you walk the blood over to whatever the case is, it doesn't matter. You do an Avoda in the Beis HaMikdash. And then immediately after doing the Avoda, you sprint out. Oh. So in other words, in time, you lost nothing in terms of time. Right? You were fine. You were fine in terms of time. Good.
Even if you was taking a short route and you did something.
Oh, just 1 second. But the Gemara says we're now on the top of your Zainamid base. But if you but if it's Dafka, if you must walk out the shortest route and there's no other way to go about it, so where are we going to find the case where you're not going to incur a Kurish liability for delaying in the Beis HaMikdash? But then the Gemara is going to say what I just told you earlier. You take a fork. Todd, this may answer your question. You had a long fork. In other words, right, the meat was on the top. You just take a long fork, you stick it with the fork, and you just flip it over while you're walking out. Okay, and that's exactly what the Gemara says, right? Ukid Rav Huna, Damar Rav Huna, Zar Shehafach B'Tzin Arachai Misa. A non-Kohen who flips over a little carbon on the Mizbeach, that's a Voda, and you, a non-Kohen, you're going to incur liability. Which means now, same thing for the Kohen Tamei. Kohen Tamei does that, he's also going to incur liability as well. The Gemara here just spends a moment talking about this. If it's in a place where it's not going to burn, and you turned it over, so now that it burns, that's obviously avoda. Burning the carbon on the mizbech is avoda. The Gemara says, and look, if it's on the fire, and even if you wouldn't have turned it over, it would have burnt. So, what did you do? Meaning, even though you did flip it over, but does that mean anything? So the Gemara says, yeah, lo tzricha di ilo hafach bahu, ma'akli b'tarti shava hashtem ma'akli b'chashata. Yeah, you sped up the cooking process.
Expedited.
Expedited and expedition is a significant. And anytime it's kruve avoda, you're hastening something, you're expediting something, that is avoda. Okay, let's finish up this morning.
Why did it matter as to the Kohen became Kohen? What does it matter whether he takes the long route or a short route? If he's going to do something, right? What would be the difference?
You're right. In terms of he's only going to get the lower level Misa and not the higher level Karis, you're right. The Gemara over here is really clinical in its discussion. The difference is going to be the level of being spiritually cut off.
But if he were to take a short run and on the way flip the burger, he would not get any of this money?
He would not get, in other words, as long as he's walking out and he flipped while he was walking, so then he's only going to get Misa. He's not going to get Karis. Karis is only if he's Shoah, only if he delays. He didn't delay. He just did the Avodah while in that state of Tumah. Am Rav Oshia, be'ina de'ema milsa u'mistafina mechavrai. Rav Oshia says, look, I want to say something that's wild, that's controversial, that's crazy. And I'm afraid of how it's going to be received, right? Yeah, I think every now and then we know the feeling. You want to say something, but you know that's just not going to be received. Hanichnas, well, here's his wild statement. Hanichnas beis hamenuga derech achor v'afilu kula chutz mechot mo tahor. You walk into a house with tzaras. Now we know the halach is you walk into a house with tzaras to become tamei, right? House with tzaras is like going into a house where there's a dead body. You become tamei simply through tumas ohal. He is positing that if I walk in backwards and my entire body, with exception to my nose, okay, insert Jewish joke here, my entire body, with exception to his nose, is inside the house, he is not tame. Okay, now, dichsiv, v'haba el haba is derech bia asra Torah. Okay, derech bia, it's by way of entrance. Okay, u'mistafina mechavrai, but I know that if I say this in the yeshiva, in the Beis Medrash, I know they're going to laugh at me. Ihachi kulaname. What do you mean? What's the issue? You walked in backwards, and the Torah says you have to walk in the normal way? So what difference does it make whether my nose is sticking out, or if I just walk totally in, it shouldn't make a difference. Amarava kulo logara mikalem shebebayas. Rava says, no, I'll tell you what, I defend him. I defend this controversial statement to Rav Oshia. Even if your nose is sticking, I'm sorry, when your nose is sticking out, you have not entered in. When you walk in backwards and your total body is in, it's true you didn't walk into the house in a normal fashion. But you're in the house, you're no different at that point than like a utensil. Okay. Three more lines and we'll finish for this morning. Tanya nami hachi gagim halalu ein ochlim sham kache kachim vein shochtim sham kachim kalem v'tamei nishenichnas derech gagim lehechal pater. If you walk into the heichal, but not through the normal entrance, but through some sort of rooftop entrance, you will be pater. Shenemar ve'el hamikdash lo savo derech bia asra Torah, only by walking in the normal way. Okay, good. All right, quickly, today we talked about the basic concept of Shehiyah that encompassed most of our day today. If you become Tamei in the Beis HaMikdash by accident, by Ones, and now you delayed in the Beis HaMikdash, you will incur liability. Certainly a Karban, certainly Kares, perhaps Malkus. The Gemara leaves that question unresolved. The Gemara then riffed off about a half a dozen questions regarding the nature of this Shehiyah, right? Different aspects of Shehiyah. The Gemara leaves this leave a lot of these questions unresolved. We had a good discussion today about the airspace of the Azara. Right? Is that considered like the Azara itself? Tosfos unequivocally says yes. The Rambam says he's not sure. He's in doubt. And good. And that's that was our discussion for today. Tomorrow, all Hilchos Nida, all day tomorrow. Tomorrow, Daf Yud Ches and Shavuos is all Hilchos Nida. Okay, stay tuned. וחנן בן הקשר מאז הקשר ברוך הוא זכו סוף יחכיר באמצע המצטר שנאמר נחפץ למציקו יגדיל תורה וידיר